It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll step beyond the curtain and spend a day in the life of one local wrestler known as Rocky Rage, who was teaching his three-year-old daughter some wrestling moves.
Who wins most often?
She's undefeated.
Avery is undefeated. She's never lost.
Yeah.
2.5 years undefeated.
But wrestling takes its toll on the performers and their families.
A lot of the wrestlers are married, they have kids, they're getting older. You don't want to see somebody in 5 years be in so much pain they can't do anything because of wrestling.
That story and more coming up on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. First, these headlines. President Donald Trump virtually ignored recent news of former fixer Michael Cohen's federal guilty plea last night during his third visit to West Virginia since 2015. As Carol Lofton reports, he instead focused on campaign staples like immigration.
Trump said voting for any Democrat would result in eliminating immigration enforcement. If a Democrat is elected, he predicts they'll
throw open our borders and set loose vicious predators and violent criminals. They'll be all over our communities. They will be preying on our communities.
To the sound of boos, Trump used the example of the murder of Iowa college student Molly Tibbetts to back up his claim. Tibbetts disappeared on a run a month ago and was later found dead. The suspect, a Mexican immigrant in the country illegally.
The immigration laws are such a disgrace. We're getting them changed, but we have to get more Republicans. We have to get.
The only reference to personal controversy was to point the finger yet again at what Trump calls fake news and the Russian witch hunt. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Carol Lofton.
President Trump touted the coal industry's comeback at the rally last night. While the state has seen coal production and jobs tick upward in recent years, largely due to exports, a new federal analysis by the EPA indicates that trend is not likely to last. Brittany Patterson has more.
Hours after the head of the EPA unveiled a more industry-friendly version of power plant regulations, President Trump used a rally in West Virginia to claim that his policies have revitalized the coal industry.
And it's really happening. We are back. The coal industry is back.
But industry statistics reveal a muted job recovery in coal at best. The West Virginia coal industry has improved under Trump. Production is up nearly 27% since the middle of 2016, driven largely by an uptick in coal exports for steel production. But other parts of the Ohio Valley have seen little change in coal employment. And a new report by West Virginia University forecasts coal production in the state will level out during the next 2 years and decline sharply during the next 2 decades. Trump also touted his administration's efforts to repeal the Obama-era Clean Power Plan. That rule aimed to cut greenhouse gas emissions from power plants in an effort to stem the effects of climate change.
Every day we're keeping our promises. We're canceling Obama's illegal anti-coal destroying regulations. The so-called Clean Power Plan.
Yesterday, the EPA announced it would replace the Clean Power Plan with a new rule that gives states more latitude to cut carbon emissions from coal-fired power plants.
Just today, we announced our new affordable clean energy proposal that will help our coal-fired power plants and save consumers, you, me, everybody, billions and billions of dollars.
The EPA says the price of electricity is expected to drop by about 0.5% at most by 2025 under the new rule. But perhaps more striking, the agency's analysis also finds the amount of coal produced in the U.S. is expected to decrease, in some cases drastically. With the Trump administration's new affordable clean energy rule, the agency says overall U.S. coal production will go down. In Appalachia, coal mines would produce at least 78% less coal in 2035 than they did last year. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
For people searching for the best fly fishing spots to catch wild trout in the U.S., Central Pennsylvania still makes top 10 lists. That's despite historical pollution and runoff from agriculture and development. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant heads to the region to find out how people there are working to keep these premier streams clean.
It's just before sunset, and 27-year-old Matt Kowalczyk is standing in the river near the bank of Penn's Creek in central Pennsylvania, not far from State College. He's a fly fishing guide and chooses a lure meant to catch wild trout.
We're going to see if we can get one to eat a stonefly. It's hard to pass up a big meal.
Kowalczyk attaches the fly to his line and walks deeper into the center of the fast-moving creek. He casts upstream. His line doesn't dance through the air like in a river runs through it, but his lure lands lightly on the water and floats down a ways. No bites, so he pulls it out and casts upstream again.
And you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. The next thing you know, boom, a bar of gold just rolls up and annihilates your fly. Yeah, it's pretty intense. It gets the adrenaline pumping.
Kowalczyk considered moving to Montana or Colorado after college, but he loves it here.
In the middle of Pennsylvania, mountains all around you, watching the bald eagles chase the osprey for the trout.
In high summer, the water is still cool, maybe 60 degrees, and remains that temperature because it's fed by cold springs and mountain creeks. Unlike some streams, the state doesn't stock Penn's Creek with trout.
It doesn't need it. This stream is Class A wild trout water, meaning that it has a naturally sustaining population of fish that does not need us to do anything about. If you come here in October and November, you can walk the stream and find the fish actively spawning, and that is cool to see.
One reason the trout do well here, abundant food. When I visited, Kowalczyk was just finishing up with the angling frenzy around the hatch of green drake and especially large mayfly.
And that's a huge draw. That is the big hatch here. That's the reason everyone comes to fish, the green drake. It's actually pretty insane.
Even closer to State College in nearby Spring Creek, a spill of cyanide at Penn State in the 1950s wiped out the green drake population. The mayflies have never recovered there. There's usually not one big pollution source anymore. Today, it's more like death by a thousand cuts. Urbanization and growth in State College, like rooftops, roads, and parking lots, cause runoff and pollution in Spring Creek. In the more rural Penn's Creek watershed, it's the farms. One-third of the land here is in agriculture, corn, soy, and dairy.
This was a cow pasture. And that was a cow pasture.
David Martinick is working with the Penns Valley Conservation Association, a local nonprofit, to restore the stream bed at his longtime family farm. He points to the high bank on the far side of the creek, where a backhoe is moving hemlock logs brought in for a restoration project.
And we took the cattle off. The non-native invasive species just grew up and just choked everything out.
The Conservation Association's Lyle Sherwin, who leads many area landowners on projects like this, says the bare soil of the cow pastures left these stream banks without tree roots for structure.
They're falling into the stream. Massive erosion.
You can see silt from the eroding bank filling up the shallow stream here. Sherwin says this limestone bed is spawning ground for trout, and the sediment literally smothers their eggs. That's why they're building what's basically a reinforced wall of logs along the stream.
It simulates an eroded bank that has structure and function to it, but it's a built bank. It's a stable bank.
Sherwin has worked on 14 improvement projects like this in recent years and says the more they do, the more landowners want to try it.
It's sort of keeping up with the Joneses. Oh, wait a minute. They did that stream project and it worked for them and they seem happy with it.
Many of these projects get funding through a USDA program that's proposed to be cut in the House version of the 2018 Farm Bill. Sherwin hopes funding doesn't dry up because the more stream restoration, the better for the wild brown trout in Penn's Creek and for the anglers who pour in to catch them. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. More at AlleghenyFront.org. On the latest Inside Appalachia episode, we go inside the world of local independent pro wrestling. The Inside Appalachia team decided to explore the people behind the culture because it's really popular here in Appalachia. And just like in other parts of the country, fans are usually pretty passionate and loyal to the world of wrestling. We learn more about one local wrestler who goes by Rocky Rage. Let's listen to an excerpt of his story. Host Jessica Lilly speaks with our West Virginia Public Broadcasting wrestling expert, Adam Harris.
So, Adam, tell us more about this shift. How has Rocky Rage changed in the past year since you've been recording these matches?
As you mentioned, Rocky used to be one of the most beloved local characters here in ASW. Here he is sticking up for himself against another wrestler, Shane Storm.
You and I, we've had our past. We've left blood in this ring, on this floor. We put everything behind us and we became good friends. And the first time I leave, you want to get a little attitude and become a little crybaby and try to run my name in the ground?
And that was him actually being a good guy. Now he's even more arrogant. He's the guy who's completely full of himself. He talks back to the crowd. He calls himself the savior of wrestling.
Wow.
When he comes out in the arena, he snarls. He makes faces at the audience. He says he's even made kids cry, and he loves that.
Those poor kids, right? So what does he wear? What does he look like? What's his look?
His outfit's pretty basic. It's similar to a mixed martial arts fighter with kick pads on his shins, and he has heavily taped wrists. There's dragons on his shorts. Rocky doesn't have a bodybuilder look, but he is wide, he's this imposing figure, and he knows the strength of a good snarl.
We wanted to know more about who Rocky is when he's not in the ring, and see if he'd let us peek behind the curtain, so to speak, and get a little personal. Rocky shared this story with our producer, Roxy Todd. Roxy, you've been spending some time documenting Rocky at home and in the locker room when he's not wrestling. Hop in here and tell us what you found. Who is the man behind the mask of Rocky Rage?
Yeah, so Rocky Rage by day is a man named Rocky Harden. He has a wife, a daughter, and just like most West Virginians, they're a very busy family. His wife works crazy long hours, and he's often out of town wrestling. But they let me spend a little time with them when they were all sitting in their living room hanging out together.
I'm like Avery.
That's Rocky's 3-year-old daughter, Avery. She's got blonde hair, and when I stopped over to Rocky's house, it was a Sunday afternoon, and she had a coloring book on the floor with a stack of pens, a highlighter, and a box of colored pencils.
Chaos. I got these chaos.
Which one you want?
These pencils. You tell them it never look
it. She loves to color, like that's her thing. Like, if you give her some crayons and a coloring book, she's consent for ever. It's pretty cool.
Avery is a big wrestling fan.
We've taken her to some WWE shows in Charleston. She goes crazy. She loves it.
This is Rocky's wife, Jamie. They tell me Rocky is even teaching Avery some wrestling moves.
Who wins most often?
She's undefeated.
Avery is undefeated. She's never lost. Yeah.
2.5 years undefeated.
Avery loves to see her dad wrestle most of the time.
The only time she's ever freaked out at a show was I was bleeding a little bit and I'm in the locker room.
Real blood?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Jamie came back to the locker room and Avery saw me and she saw me with blood on my face and she was like, you know, she freaked out just a little bit, so I ran, hurried up, took a shower, got the blood to stop. And then she was cool. Then she was, like, you know, interested in the boo-boos. But, so, it's like, if I know there's going to be a match to where there's a chance, like, if I go to the show and there's, you know, going to be blood in the match, it's definitely something that I don't want her to see anymore.
So wrestling is a part of Rocky's family life, too. Actually, wrestling is how he and his wife first got together. Rocky was training Jamie to learn wrestling, and the two just hit it off.
And we talked all the time, and it kind of led from there. I didn't really want a relationship, per se. I was super attracted to him, but I wanted to wrestle. But, I mean, undeniable chemistry is chemistry, and we've been together ever since.
So wait a minute, does she wrestle professionally?
Not right now. Jamie says she'd like to get back in the ring, but she's had some back issues that make that tough. And that's something that worries her about Rocky, too. He's had a few neck injuries while wrestling, and she's terrified that one of these days he could be severely injured.
Every time, every single match, I worry. And I see it with other wrestlers, too, you know? Like, a lot of the wrestlers are married, they have kids, they're getting older. You don't want to see somebody in 5 years be in so much pain they can't do anything because of wrestling.
But at the same time,
I really couldn't imagine if he wasn't a wrestler. It's such a big part of who he is.
That was Jamie Harden, the wife of wrestler Rocky Rage, one of the local wrestlers featured in the latest episode of Inside Appalachia. To hear more of this story, check out the podcast on our website, wvpublic.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.